Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cybersecurity version, and we're glad to have Mr. AI Nguyen back to join us for today's show. Mr. AI Nguyen, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Glad to
good,
be back.
Good. And what's the weather like there? Y'all got rain like we do?
I tell you, the forecast is not as accurate as like it used to be anymore. They say yesterday it says supposed to be no rain, but it was raining.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's kind of spotty, like every day, like 10%, 15%. Well, it's all over.
You know, it's interesting how I'm almost exactly halfway around the world from you, 9,986 miles, according to United's frequent flyer chart. And this is rainy season here in Thailand, so we can count on it every day. And if you have plans to walk your dog at 5 p.m. every day like we do, we go join our little meetup. We've got a dog meetup group here in our village. And I could promise you it will start raining somewhere around 4:30 to 4:45, much to all of the participants' chagrin, all the four-legged participants. They just don't understand why they can't go that day. And they will already all, according to the different mamas and papas of that group, they all start barking about 4:15. I know ours does. Because he's got that inner clock that tells him, hey, it's time to go walking and go see his friends. But anyway, we did have a little excitement today. We had a Siberian husky that apparently got out somehow. Yeah, from one of its, or from its home, just around the corner from our village, and was roaming our streets all night. Really sweet, sweet female. And so she wasn't a threat, but you know, of course, everybody was worried she might get hit by a car or have a, you know, something else happen. But fortunately, we got her corralled, and it didn't take long at all. We posted, you know, a missed dog on the Line app that we have a neighborhood group on, and it wasn't long at all before their owner saw it and came and got her, and she was oh so excited to see her mama and papa.
Say husky, aren't they supposed to be like a winter dog? How can they survive in the summer like that?
Well, you know, it's crazy, the dogs here that are, well, even our little Pomeranian, of course, he doesn't stay outside per se. I mean, we take him outside to walk him, and you know, you got to be careful, you know, how hard you push him. But he does go with us pretty much everywhere in our car. And you know, when we go somewhere like a mall where we don't take him in, and most of the malls, well, a lot of the malls you can, except that's like saying, yeah, your Pomeranian can go on the airplane with you. There won't be one person on that airplane that's going to be happy to have a Pomeranian with the way they chirp and the hair be floating in the air. It's just not a good idea. So when we take him to the mall, he stays in the car. You know, we roll the windows down or crack the windows, and we check him religiously every 30 minutes because it doesn't take long, you know, in a hot car to kill a dog. But anyway, he'll be asleep, literally. That's how calm he is when he's in the car, whereas if you left him here at home, you haven't seen separation anxiety like occurs with Pomeranians. It is unbelievable what a character trait that is with that breed. But anyway, well, Wynn, tell us what is on the agenda today. What are we going to be talking about? I know it'll be something in the cybersecurity,
the latest
or maybe
news,
the AI
well,
world.
Well, that's part of it, but I want to start with the latest news on the cybersecurity side. No,
after
the bombing. After the bombing. So, you have you heard of a Scatter Spider hacker?
No. Okay. Is that his name, Scatter Spider?
It's a group of people, and they're changing their tactics. And I want to talk about today who they are. You know, the same people that hacked the GM in Las Vegas and casino. Same people. I mean, same group of people. So these are the young hackers from the U.S. and the U.K., okay, and who break into a big company to steal data and demand money. They are an expert at tricking employees, often to pretend to be an IT staff, to get your password access, and they're very convincing because they're using your native language. So it's dependent on where you are and how they hack. If they're going to hack somebody in France and they have somebody locally speaking French, if they have somebody in England and they have somebody, you know, native speaking, but mostly in the U.S. and in U.K. Now, they attack casino, retailer, and more sometimes like a big company like healthcare. But last week, they're changing tactics. So the industry that they're attacking, I hope you're not traveling anytime soon, is the airline.
Okay.
Focusing on the
airline. Well, I won't now.
Okay. So that is the latest. Okay, now that's part of the social engineering tactics I'm going to talk about. Now, this is the latest, so that's kind of scary too. So like I said, previously the target was retail and insurance, but they have focused on aviation industry and transportation. At the same time, we have war with Iran in the Middle East. And then you get a news here that Iran kind of threatened us with the sleeper cells. Imagine that. Now, you add two and two together. I don't want to, you know, our listener to be worried, but, you know, this is part of the headline new, all over, warned by the Bureau, you know, airline industry. And these are the people that they are young English-speaking individuals. The diverse skill set, I'm telling you, there. They all showed up in the forum like Telegram and Discord. And they, you know, they even, those guys, they even teach you how to execute and attack in real time. These are the people that blatantly, you know, they lose the network, okay? So anyway, but there's a thing that you can do to protect yourself. But I'm just saying to you that the industry that I'm focused on is the transportation, and it's scary because I don't think that we are that ready, okay? And here are the characteristics that who they are.
By the way, where are they based? When
they are, so this tactic is called ransomware for service. So they're everywhere, okay? When think about like a software for service, you have ransomware for service. You have a group of people, an organization that work together like a network. For example, you get a group in Russia, okay, the hacker is selling the deployments, the virus itself, and a system called C2, Command and Control. And basically it's a network. They have somebody working locally. Like, let's just say you work for an IT firm. No, you work for an airline, for example. You're an IT person. And somebody can say, hey, listen, I'll pay you $1 million in Bitcoin if you can just take the token here, just inject it and disable stuff for me, and I'll take care of the rest. So you got one group do the phishing email, okay, and you have another group do the deployments. Now, back then, you know, when they use... the tactics that they use, they have a large payload. So the antivirus will pick it up, right? And the signatures and behavior. But now they're changing tactics. Now they're using it as a small payload. The computer sometimes don't even pick it up. And on top of that they install something on the background is so little that you don't even know it's happening. Okay, the technique that they use is so powerful. And of course they have AI is not going to help us either. So AI is a double-edged sword, right? It helps us, but also helps the hacker as well to bypass all that. And especially today, a lot of people are using AI to develop code, and they don't care about security. AI doesn't care about security unless you tell it to. So speedy, fast programming, but you also lack of code protections. Anyway, back to this group of people. So you practically can go to any company and you can using this group called ransomware for service, and it's already happening. The case like MGM, right, and casino, it's all start with the IT, and it's all start with the social engineering attack, the technique like phishing, SIM swapping, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And password and then email. And email part of phishing. But the social engineering is what really is a technique that they use. It's really scary. And it's so realistic. Yeah. And I thought that sometimes I have a lot of people click on an email and I look at it, it's so realistic. So basically they send you an email and they reinforce it with a phone call. So make it more believable. So imagine that you got an email, then you have somebody call you back, okay? And you say, you know what, this guy must be real because he's calling me back, right? And they're using the English-speaking person to talk to you. You no longer have somebody from foreign overseas who don't understand you, right? Mm-hmm. You don't understand the language, the accent. They're using this English-speaking native person, and that's what's scary. And so many people got tricked into it, okay? So if you receive a link, do not click on the link. I keep saying that. My philosophy is very simple. If you send me a link, I don't care how much I know you, how long I know you, I would delete it.
Is that right? So it's not just unknown actors.
No. I'm telling you, the method is like this, okay? And we tend to believe that.
Right, but let's assume, like, you know, 45 minutes ago, you sent me a link,
mm-hmm.
and I opened it. So you're saying I shouldn't have opened that, or should I have gone to this, put it in the spam folder
first,
before I opened it? Or
now,
what?
Here's the thing, okay? The bad guy knows that, okay? And sometimes, if your computer is compromised, and he's sitting, he listened to, no, my computer compromised, and he listened to my, it looking at my email, and I sent to you. In a moment... it will, after the conversation, it send another email. And you think, you know, I just spoke to AI Win, so therefore I must be real, right? But that's mm-hmm. called a man-in-the-middle attack, because that's when they send it. Here's my philosophy. If you send me, you and I would just spoke, and then an hour later you send me an email. First, I look at the email itself. Anything with a link, I take careful scrutinizer. Think about this. 1 minute save you thousands of hours. I look at the email, I say, just read the email. Why would in the world would you send me a link? That's number one. Now, if I have doubt, I will pick up the phone, I will call you. Did you just send me a link? Did you just send me an email? How hard can it be? How often do you send me a link? Not very often, but often when you send me a link, I have to question, I have to call you. It doesn't take that long, right? And I know people who click on the link after. Hey, I just spoke to this person a few hours ago. I expect an email from him. That was a mistake. Because today, they're using AI. They don't have to be on your email. They can listen to your email. They use AI it's called, you heard of an AI agent, right? You can create an agent to do a lot of stuff for you. Imagine a bad guy can also do that and listen to email. They don't have to listen to, they don't have to be on your phone or your computers. It's all computerized. It's all the technique that they use. That's how they get you. And another thing to remember, 2 weeks ago, we're talking about the DNS fake, right? The DNS. DNS is how you resolve the IP address to the name, right? And when you have, for example, npross.com, and sometimes you have info@npross.com, or you have it's like a layers. So a lot of people are using the website and they forgot to clean it up, and a bad guy can use it. The email that I found from this person who clicked on it, it came from Microsoft SharePoint. Of course, it's believable, right? Remember, we told people to look at the link. And when you look at Microsoft.com, you say, you automatically say, you know, it's trusted. Well, not necessary. Not necessary. Because those are just a fake link. But also the link is being spoofed by the bad guy. I mean, to make it long, I don't want it to make too complicated. But whenever you see a link from someone that never sent you a link before, question it, call that person up. If I talk to you, I do business with you for the whole week, if I never have to send a link, why all of a sudden I send a link? Unless something like required me to send a link. For example, if I send you something like a video, I said, hey, listen, I'm going to send you a video over the SharePoint or over the Dropbox, whatever. Well, I'll let you know ahead of time, right? But I don't say anything all of a sudden I send you the link, even though I just spoke to you. You should not click on the link, especially you in financial business. They will attack those people in financial business, airline, financials, banking, you know, all kind of stuff. You need to be careful.
Huh. What about links? Well, they become links. What about documents that are like PDFs that are uploaded to things like Smart Vault?
Okay.
Or SafeSend. You know, these are encrypted document management
programs. They are encrypted, but who sent it to you? Right?
Right. I mean, that doesn't destroy the encryption just because you upload it to
exactly.
So let me show you. I mean, if it's a client, mm-hmm. though, mm-hmm. it's expected.
Okay.
But what would the encrypted document management portal have safeguards against?
They do, but here let me show you how it works. Let's just say you receive a link from the portal, right? You click on it, and this is how it works. You click on it, and the authentication page come up. Look at the authentication. What did it say? Did it say it came from your company that sent to you, or it came from Microsoft SharePoint? The objective of the link is to steal your, to force you to input your Microsoft Office authentication. Let's just say.
Okay, that's a different scenario.
The way
Smart Vault works is a client uploads, we get a notification, mm-hmm. and then we need to have logged in to Smart Vault and go click the PDF file for that file to open.
But that's
it
different.
It doesn't download it.
Yeah, but that's
right.
Different.
It doesn't download mm-hmm. it to my system. I mean, it can. Well, I say that. Maybe it does download. Well, it opens it. I'm not sure that constitutes a download. I could then click save mm-hmm. and have it saved to my local.
Okay.
Or my Dropbox, or
but you received the notice first, right? You received the notice first, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this
through Smart Vault.
This is what you should do. When you receive the notice that you have a document ready to download, you don't use the same email that you just clicked to go to the download. Okay. You close that email. You go to the website where you're supposed to download. Does that make sense?
That's basically what we do.
So that's good. Okay, a lot of people.
I mean,
don't
there
do
is
that.
A link mm-hmm. in the email
don't
that
do
I can
that.
Click.
I don't do that.
I don't do that. I
exactly.
never have.
Exactly.
Because
so, mm-hmm.
it's a situation
convenient.
Where usually, well, yeah, but see, more than that, usually mm-hmm. I'm going to want to work on multiple documents from that client. I'm not just going to, as I'm doing a tax return, I'm not going to be just seeking to access one PDF.
So,
I'd be wanting to be in their Smart Vault.
So the hacker, they are basing on your convenience, right, and urgency. They use those two things and force people, you know what, it's easier, like just click the link, why don't I go to another site? And a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are doing that. I mean, for example, if I receive a notice from the bank said, you know what, somebody charged me this, click on this link to verify, I will close that email and go directly to the bank and I look at it. And some people, you know, it's so convenient, they just click on it. And no matter how many times you train them, they're still doing it. So they're always a percentage of people. Don't be that percentage. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what about, I'm just looking at a link that, you know, I did a search on U.S. Senate reconciliation bill. You know, the current one big beautiful bill that's worked its way through to the Senate now. They've voted to advance it to a final vote. They narrowly pass that, or, you know, the Republicans pass that vote. So they've got one more vote. But anyway, one of the sites that had information about the vote and about what's in the bill, it's the actual congress.gov site. And so when you go to the, now, so I've Googled that you know, one bit, or a Senate reconciliation bill, and it brought me to congress.gov. But to get any of the core content, you've got to click on either committee reports, or the latest action is also a PDF. There's two roll votes that show who voted, but you've got to click those links to get any of those. So what do you do in that case? Well, I mean, that's out there in the public. I mean, it's not a,
but
I don't know how encrypted it is, because I'm not logging into anything. So,
but
I don't think it's
those
encrypted.
Link is like any other link. It just go to another link. It did not ask you for any authentication. The link
right.
that I'm talking about is asking you, you want to see what's inside, authenticate, and it come up with
a
sample.
Oh, I see.
See, that's the problem.
I see what you're saying.
But the link is okay. The link, now, I'm talking about the kind of link from an email that want you to open and authenticate. Like
okay,
banking.
But going back to mm-hmm. the one you sent me, mm-hmm. I didn't have to authenticate anything. I mean, I was already logged into Gmail. I stay logged in mm-hmm. 24/7.
Okay.
So your email popped in, like, I don't know what.
I just
send
you a
today.
Document. Please upload. Please download it. Then you,
right.
Then you
well,
click on the link.
It.
Okay. And it say.
Right.
And it will come up and said it's from Microsoft SharePoint. Number one, it came from Microsoft
SharePoint.
Oh, okay. SharePoint.
Well, see, I didn't get that.
No.
So.
You,
I mean, I didn't see
no,
that.
You don't see that. But other people, they have that. Okay. I'm not everyone has the same
okay.
email. But the one that I'm dealing with have the same email.
So, mm-hmm. so bottom line, what this malware, or whatever you want to call it, is seeking
mm-hmm.
is my credentials, authenticated credentials mm-hmm. for Microsoft SharePoint. Is that what you're
so no it using the link called Microsoft SharePoint. So I'm going to give you one example how this thing worked. It actually worked. Okay, so let's just say this person used the Microsoft suite, like Office 365. Okay, and his or her client sent her an email. Okay, and it said, click on it to download the document we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Then she clicked on an email, she clicked on the link, and it come up. Of course, she just spoke to him an hour ago, and it come up. In order for you to look at it, please authenticate using your Microsoft 365. That's also managing your Outlook, okay? So click on it, you authenticate, then when I say authenticate, this person also authenticate with it. Multi-factor authentication too. The moment you do that right there, you just run the script. You're not downloaded anything. Maybe you just run a quick download. The script will initiate. What it does, it take over your Outlook at that moment. Okay? It take over the script using your Outlook and take all your contacts and send an email change, the same email you get. So all of a sudden, one email turned into 3,000 of email sent to other people. And other people click on it, do the same thing. Imagine that. You see what I'm getting at?
And you don't even know it.
You don't even know it until people say, did you just send me this stuff? Did you just send me the? Why you send
right.
me? I didn't send it. Then you look at your sandbox. It shows you sent over 500 people.
Oh, wow.
Okay, because it basically is a script. The moment you click on your authenticate, you run the script. On your Outlook, it creates the rules and it using your contact and send an email to everyone. And it got
okay. Now, what about those 3,000 people that got that email?
And they turn around.
What if they click?
They do the same thing. They do the
okay,
same thing.
Okay, but they would have to authenticate.
That's right. Let's just say.
Well, okay.
Let's just say I sent the malware sent 3,000 people on your contact. And only 10% of them open it with authenticate. That's 300, right? And that
yeah, but they've all got to be involved or using Microsoft's product.
Most of them do. Most
okay,
of them
well,
do.
Well, I don't.
You see,
and that's another reason not uh-huh. to use Microsoft products.
Yeah, so
I've got other reasons, mm-hmm. but anyway.
But I'm just giving you an example. They may have a product for Gmail that you don't know.
Yeah,
you
see what I mean? For workspace.
For work, yeah. Right. So maybe another form, but just telling you, a lot of people using Microsoft, so they attack the one that use the most, which is Microsoft. They don't have to attack everyone. My point is, that's how it worked. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how the spider, scatter spider work. They call it scatter spider because they're a bunch of hackers. They live everywhere, and they're funded by, you know, they're using the ransomware for service. And you know who developed that? The Russian ransomware gang.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got the black cat.
And at the end of the day, mm-hmm. where's the low-hanging fruit that they're making money on? Is it because they then demand, I mean, is it kind of like
they
ransomware?
Encrypted, they encrypted your file, and they demand a ransomware. You pay us with, well, here's the link to pay in Bitcoin, and we release it. Right?
Yeah.
And most of the time, they will release it, because otherwise, if they don't, word spread out, you pay them anyway, and you don't release, nobody can do it anymore. So they will release it. Or there's another way where they can do it. They take your information. They put it online, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, you don't release it, you don't pay us, we're going to release it so everyone can see. Mm. Or your competitor can see. So the thing that you can do as an individual, just be careful. And now, keep in mind, this user have all the security in place. Endpoint security, everything, firewalls, okay? But it still work. Why it still work? Because you authenticate, you allow it to. So I always tell my kid this, okay? You know, I always use the example of the Dracula, you know, vampire. The vampire don't come in unless you invite them. The moment you, what do you mean by invite them? Well, you click on the link, you authenticate, you say it's okay. The moment you do that, they take over your computer. So as long as you don't authenticate. So even though you set it up with dual factor authentication, but you click on it, you authenticate it, what's the point? You let it in, right?
Yeah.
So
that's scary. I mean, it's scary stuff.
That's scary stuff, right? So that's one of the stuff we're talking about today. You want to take a break before you go to the next?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go ahead and let's see what time is. Well, we're right on the halfway point, so we'll probably just do one.
I know. I put a clock
break
on
today,
it.
Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and take that break. We'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, with my guest, Mr. A.I. Wynn.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and this is a Be a Planner cyber version of our shows. And I've got Mr. AI Nguyen, our cyber expert, that's joined me once again, and we're talking about some of the ongoing, I'm going to use the word facetiously, ongoing innovations in the malware and virus type game. It is a game to a certain extent. But anyway, when I'll let you pick back up.
Sure. So the last time we stopped at the spider, scatter spider group of hackers, right? Now, I want to talk about the latest social engineering in 2025. So, one of the tools is called AI power impersonations. So remember a long time ago we talked about deepfake, right? Deepfake is like the using video and voice call, right?
Right.
Did you see Google just came out the Gemini, the flow? Do you see that? See how they generate video?
You know, it's incredible. I get Gemini is automatically updated in all of my Google apps. I lose track of what's new and what's not. I do appreciate having Gemini, you know, automatically applied to Google searches and, you know,
well, it blew up to
Gmail
weeks ago,
and, you know, Well,
I mean,
I had noticed the name, but anyway,
when the AI, the video is so realistic. I mean, I create my own avatar and this person, and I'm using it to do all my stuff, and I'm talking about it's so realistic, it's incredible. You can make the scenery. A lot of people use on TikTok, they're using Bigfoot, they're using the characters, but I use it, I use it for cyber security. I'm using someone else, another faces, and I'm just making. But imagine that the same video and voice call can manipulate your family, okay? And before it's hard, before you can detect the lips, right, the mouth in a movement, well, guess what? They're getting harder now. They're getting good at it.
Yeah.
They're making the scam harder to detect. And you know who they're targeting, people? The elder. They're targeting the elder.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, because everybody, oh, there's one company, Hong Kong company, is a bank company, lost $25 million after employee was tricked by the deepfake video conference featuring AI-generated version of company executive. Can you believe that? The whole conference, all fake
I'm
people.
I'm surprised that's all they lost.
I'm talking
that's
about...
That's a relatively small amount in today's terms.
Well, they'd be able to detect it and stop it, but it's too late. But I'm talking about they're using all the executive. So that's why when you put your face on the company profile, that's what they use. They use all the company profiles, VP, president, CEO, and they create the whole conference all AI generated, okay? And today you don't need to have NVIDIA H200 processor to do all that. You can lease the platform and you can do all that. And with all the money they have now, you know, stealing people, especially the Russian hackers, they can do all that. They can buy all those time service to do that. But here's the thing too, so the second one is impersonation and business email compromise, the BEC, business email compromise, that's what it stands for, BEC, okay, that we just talked about. Impersonate scam now, that's a one-third of the report scam, and mostly Microsoft. We talk about Microsoft, well, you're not out the wood yet just because you're using Google, okay? I'm telling you, all right? So And I don't, but I have to admit, I don't see a lot of Google get hacked. I have to admit.
Right. Well, or at least it gets out, you know, in the news, but I tend to agree with you. I think, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to boast too much. We're still in the second inning, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's made it to the end zone. And, you know, I can only surmise that there's attacks coming from all angles on all companies of any size through all mediums. And if any one or four of them get through, there's significant gain that, you know, the bad guys.
So I think the next thing is going to be company going to focus on identity management. I'm talking about like today, like we talked about the MFA. Remember, we're talking about like multi-factor authentication. We're talking about like if you sign in and it'll send you the code, or you look at the app, generate the code, then you authenticate. That's called MFA. Or using your phone, then you authenticate with the bank. The bank send you the code. You take the code, you put it in. But that's the problem. If somebody got your SIM, called SIM swapping. If I got your phone and I swap it, and then I got your username and password, that code come to me. I authenticate with the code. I get all your money from the bank.
Yeah, that's right.
But see, so MFA is not safe. You think it's safe, but it's not. You still got problem. So that's one thing the company are focused. I think last year Microsoft just separate their they call Entra ID, like the
Entra.
Yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. So IAM stand for Identity Access Management. So they separate that from Azure, from the Azure service. So you
which
can,
is their online platform.
Online. So you tie that, you point that to your resource, your identity management to use resource. But also you can also use Microsoft IMA or the Entra ID for other service like Dropbox, Box, or other service like Oracle. Okay.
To
manage all your identity, like single sign on. So they have
single
that. Single sign on.
I was just going to ask you.
So they already enforced that in October of last year. They did it already. Okay.
Yeah.
So everything is moving forward. For example, you know, when I say PAM, like access, like the company called CyberArk, they're using privileged access management. So Think about this. It's like a two-man key, like a nuclear silo. It takes two people to turn the key to turn on to fire the missile. Same concept, right? But also, it records real time when this person tried to access your network. And you can see in real time, it's actually recording the access. So that's the next big thing, okay, for now. So that is what we're talking about, the AI power impersonation, the deepfake, and we're talking about the rise in business compromise email and MFA. And I think we already talked about the click fix and phishing attack. That 500% increase. The phishing email increased 500% according to the government in 2025. And we're only like half of the year. 500%. And you know what's scary? According to the audit company, I'm not named, KPMG, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, so far they can only see the data, only about 60%. A lot of data they're missing. The 30 I'm talking about coming in, they cannot verify every single one of them. They miss out like 34%. That's a lot. That's how they get hacked. Okay, they don't. When I talked about, they cannot observe every single data come in. Yet now they're using AI to do all that. Oh, by the way, I have a little experience with Apple 2 weeks ago. You know that they sense that somebody tried to hack my account, okay?
And you're convinced Apple was actually communicating this with you.
It's a nightmare. So they put me in the recovery mode, okay? And the recovery mode is all AI, is all computerized. And it took me 2 weeks to get my password back. I got locked out of my account on my phone, my other device, everything. 2 weeks is a nightmare. You Google it, you see what happened. If you lose your account and the account recovery, that's why they say you must have 2 account. You must have 2 trusted device or a family member using the phone as a secondary. If you don't have that, okay, it's going to take you weeks. You can even lose your account forever.
Yeah.
It happened to me, okay? And it took me a while. All my Apple developments got like 2 weeks.
Did your Vision Pro count as one of those
That's
devices?
That's one of the devices. I had to sign out. Yeah. I had to sign out. I have to use a different account. But now I got my account back. I start using it again. Oh, by the way, that Apple Vision is a killer. I have not
What
seen
about it. the new one? Have you looked at that lately? I'm curious your thoughts.
Oh, to talk about the new development stuff, right?
The new Vision Pro is like on the doorstep. Isn't it out or getting ready to be here in the next week
I did not
or so?
Know. Wait a minute. They have a new Vision?
They were working on it. Remember a year ago they were saying there would be a new model out this year. It would cost less. I can't remember all the
no,
good
I have,
stuff.
No, I haven't seen that. And,
so you're still working with the original one.
I see
the right?
original. That's one of the best things I have ever seen.
And they keep updating the software for that one, so it's not like you're
right.
I don't know that you're missing anything
now,
over what
they,
the new one's going to be.
They have Apple Intelligence built into it now.
Yeah.
Okay, just like Facebook.
I think the new one is going to be a lot of hardware. It's going to be lighter. There's things like that were promised. I don't know if they're...
Oh, man, I am using that thing like a hologram. When you see, check this out. I was watching a golf game, and you see it in your eye in front of you, the entire 3D, like you're there. You're looking from a looking glass, like a bird view. You see the ball flying over, like 3 people playing. You replay, you see people playing. I have never seen, and I own a lot of Vision. I own Facebook glasses. I own Microsoft. Nothing come close, I'm telling you. They are ahead of their time. Apple is ahead of time. And the beauty about this is if they make it so easy, okay, it's called the UX experience. That means if you know how to use Apple, you know how to use iPhone, you can use this automatically. It's interactive. It's already there. There's very little training. Of course, there's some gesture you need to do, but now Now you can use the Apple keyboard and Apple mouse to do it too on your Vision. All right, but I'm telling you that is one of the best. Oh, when I do a meeting, it's like I'm there. When I do a team meeting, like I'm there. I'm sitting in the same room. I think the future is going to be like that. You don't have to be flying over another country, another manufacturer to do things. You can just sit right there. You watch everything. It's called immerse.
Yeah,
you know, it's so powerful. But just don't lose your password. Of course, if you lose your password, you can also register to another domain, but just paying, you know, all your apps, everything's in there, you know. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
They do make it hard.
Now
Google's almost as bad. But
now, you know, Apple just rolled out the new development kit, right?
Again, that's above my pay grade. I don't develop, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so I develop apps. I develop app, iOS app, okay? And last week on June 23rd, all of my app, it takes around, before you upload your app, Apple called Verify. There's a process, like you upload, waiting for review. Usually it takes 24 hours to 48 hours for them to review before you can upload your app, right? Well, it's been over a week already. They have not done that. And not just me, but everybody has the same situation because they roll out the new development kit that forcing people, they're changing their tactics. It's hard to develop iOS app right now and push it up. They change the policy. Okay, the changing the policy is very hard now. By the way, I'll let you know next time when my app are ready to go. But I got one beta already out, but I'm waiting for the main one to come out. I'm waiting for them to review and release it before I can upload it to the Apple Store.
Okay, so it's not in the App Store yet. You had one in the App Store.
I have two of them. I have one is a, but this one is already on. It's called beta. I use it for testing. It's already uploaded. I'll send you a link later.
And it's all cyber-oriented?
Well, this one different. This one is for I'm develop app for the elder, helping the I'm using the,
oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
I'm using the voice actually. You can ask anything.
Well,
and it's pretty powerful. You can like reminding you to take your medicine and put your that into your calendars and using a voice. It's pretty cool.
Huh.
And I'm using
that sounds like it.
I'm using a multiple sources, ChatGPT, but also I'm using other stuff.
Yeah.
But there's so many stuff.
Is there,
out there
anything comparable out there now? When? I mean,
no.
I'm curious.
No. No. Okay. I do my research before I develop that. So
that's interesting.
That's hoping to help. But it's hard to develop app now because they change their policy and they make it very difficult to do things.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's next? Have we made it down to number?
Yeah. Okay.
Four so, now, or which?
We,
which
yeah,
number
we
on
we
our
already
agenda?
Make it on we make it to all of them already. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was still stuck back up on three, but I guess.
Well, that's not the SIM swap. Is I add another one in there.
Yeah.
So just look out for email right now.
And again,
email.
the SIM swap. You know, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. You got to put your PIN code in.
That's right.
For your SIM to
That's
lock
right.
it down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, hand your phone to a, I don't know, a tech, you got to go through a process, or they have to go through a process.
That's right.
To be able to get access to that SIM,
so
where they could do something.
So even them don't have access to it. Even them, even if you go to T-Mobile, and that person is, let's just say, is compromised. That person is working for another hacker. That's the thing. Okay, the way it works is the hackers or they go into the store. They say, if you do this for me, and I'll give you some money, you just authenticate it for me. And let's just say you in Houston, this guy walking to New York, he's not supposed to authenticate. You're supposed to say, I had to be in New York for you to do local for you to authenticate and release it. But since I pay you under the table, can you do it for me anyway? And a lot of them will do that. But this time, if you have your PIN, even the T-Mobile or AT&T tech guy cannot release it without your PIN number. Or you can go to the gym after work. What do most people do? They go to the gym, they take their phone. Some of them have two phones, one for the business, one for personal. They put the one for the business inside the locker, right? Somebody go to the locker, take their phone out, just take the SIM out. All they need to take the SIM and put another SIM in there. And take the SIM out and put you another phone. Do you see what I'm going at with?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But today, Apple and Samsung, they already working on, it's already implemented, right? It's called eSIM, that you cannot remove it. Okay? You don't use the SIM anymore.
Yeah, and how does that affect the eSIM? They can't somehow duplicate or copy it? I mean, is it totally
physically
safe from this?
Yeah, so 50%. They increase security by 50 to maybe 70%. So that means the guy cannot go to the gym and steal your phone. Or people steal your phone, take a SIM out. Think about this. You on the phone, somebody riding a motorcycle, take your phone and run. They can take the SIM out, throw away your phone. They just want the SIM. But today with a phone, you don't have the SIM. So therefore, they have to take the whole phone, but they can access anyway, right? So that's why the PIN number on your SIM is so important. You need to lock it down with a 6-digit number. So when you actually call T-Mobile and when you call AT&T, you have to validate that PIN number. Otherwise, but keep in mind, if you forget a PIN number, it's done. It's over. They have to give you another one. Okay? So you got to be mindful.
Are you a fan of the eSIM as opposed to the...
Yeah.
Hard SIM?
I am.
I've got reasons I prefer the hard SIM if you're moving your SIM card between, you know, like an iPad or a phone and you're in different countries. I mean, there's a number of reasons. But, you know, I guess in most cases I can manage it by, if you can remember, to turn off, you know, when you leave, like when I leave Thailand, I can turn off my SIM cards,
some phone will allow you to have, like Huawei, they have two SIM slots. One's the eSIM and the other one is a regular SIM.
Yeah, but the iPhone, you can have up to 8 eSIMs mm-hmm. in each phone.
Yeah.
8. And so, you know, that gives you the ability if you spend time in Greece, maybe the UK, you know, Thailand, America.
That's right.
You can have all those eSIMs stored so you're not starting over every time you land again.
That's right.
And in some cases, I don't know about T-Mobile, I need to check, you can shut off the service for a period. You know, when you're going to be leaving the country and you don't expect international calls, you know, on that number.
No, that's true. Or some phone allow you to have a physical SIM and an eSIM, like Huawei, I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So you can go to the store. You don't have to call in anybody. Just take the SIM, you plug it in. That's it.
Yeah, and that's easier. Still possible, depending on where you buy your iPhone. I've got a iPhone, let's see, is it my 15? Yeah.
By the way, when you
buy I bought over here.
When you buy your iPhone, I'm going to give you some tip.
Yeah.
You know which one's made in U.S., which one's made in China, and which one's made in other country.
Yeah, how do you tell?
You go to setting, then you go to my phone. Let's see here. I'll show you how to do it.
Hang on. I'm in my settings.
Setting. Go to general.
Got it.
Go to about.
About?
About. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And look at the model number. What did it say? MU663 and whatever.
MYMQ.
What's the last three digit?
Looks like 083.
Ha. No. The other letter. Look at the model number. The whole
Oh well, mine. Let me see if I can.
Model number. MU.
Mine's MYMQ3. 1, and then A, it's in two pieces, so the second chunk that comes up is A3083.
What is the last number, letter, whatever that is, the last three? Beside the slash A, you have a slash A, right?
Oh, okay. Well, before I don't have that. A slash, but there may be.
Okay. Is your an iPhone?
MYMQ, so YMQ.
YMQ. Okay, yours are not made in the U.S. You're made in China.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Listen, we've got less than 30 seconds. Wynn, let's go ahead and wrap up. We'll return this coming Friday right here on KSEV, 700 a.m. at 11 a.m. We appreciate you joining in or listening today.
I have
Thank
a last
you.
Statement for the user.
And okay.
Listen to out there. Stay safe, stay informed, and until next time, may your data be secure and may your browsing history private. That's my statement.
Well, I like it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you. Thank
uh-huh.
you, Wynn.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.